We had a little, no second prize. The first prize was a gold nugget. Interesting, that was Dennis and Pamela's neighbours that won. It was great because we could bring unsaved family, friends, hubbies and things, and it was wonderful to all meet together so that they can see we're actually not weird, we're okay. But we struggled on the last question. We had to find this plaque at Bermagui Fishermen's Co-op that recognised the fishing family from the history. And, oh, Graham's going one way and Lisa and I are going another way, and we're running around and we couldn't find it, and we're, like, taking far too long. And Janet and Craig pulled up. We're like, right, let's just follow them. So Lisa went and hid behind something and watched them. They led us right to it, so thank you very much. But we took far too long, and that's why we came second. Anyway, rerun later. So you see what you missed out on if you weren't there. So I encourage you. I think we need another one of those, you know, toward the end of the year. And, yeah, you have to come. Even if you're just a passenger, it's great. Right, so the message this morning, I've called it Faith in the House. Okay? Faith in the House. Now, I think I had a terrible night last night. My computer, all my words turned to a different language, gibbledygook. I tried to keep going back, and the more I did, the worse it got. Then I lost the whole lot and I started again, and I was doing the worship music for today. That email disappeared. So Jean recognises that. I think she received it here last night well after 1 a.m. And then I don't think my PowerPoint even arrived. No. So we don't have a PowerPoint. I did send it. So it just was one of those evenings, but I kept my composure because I know where that comes from. And I thought, well, God, you've got something to say that's important today. So here we go. Faith in the house. My first scripture's from 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. Now, it's sort of where I'm going today. So it says here, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. We can all relate to that. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honour on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Peter wrote this scripture at a time when their Christians were being persecuted because they refused to worship the emperor in the pagan temples because there was businesses out there trying to make money from it. And so whenever the Christianity took hold in those areas, their money-making enterprises backed off. And so hence they came under many trials, and this is what this scripture comes from. But God is saying to us that our faith is much more precious than mere gold, even that gold nugget that was the first prize yesterday. It's pretty incredible because God is just saying, don't worry about chasing the gold. Your faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is more precious than our homes and our cars and even our bank accounts. Everything that we possess, without faith we have nothing, and there's nothing more important than our faith. And sometimes we have to go through things to remind us of what really matters. You know yourself, if you've been close to losing something, you then have a bit of a reality check on what's important in life. And our faith is important. It's not the gold, it's not the material things. What really matters is our faith. And it's greater than passing down an inheritance of gold or financial blessing to our children and our children's children. Now, I have a friend, and she has two grandchildren. And they've been through some rough times, these grandchildren, these girls, primary schoolish age. And I know that this woman has imparted to them the most precious gift that she can. Money isn't going to help them get through when they're being bullied or when stuff's going on in their life. Nothing's going to help them. But she's imparted to them a faith and a prayer life. And when she shares with us sometimes about what they say, I'm like, wow. And they don't even go to church. But this grandma has imparted this amazing gift of faith to her grandchildren. And that is something that we can do. And I know there's grandmas in the house that are praying for their beautiful grandchildren because they may be a bit wayward at the moment. And you know what? It is good for us to have all these, you know, savings plans and, you know, good things. They're good things these days. We need to have them. We can't just fly on the seat of our pants for everything. No, we need all those too. And it's sensible to have them. But the heroes of faith in the Hebrews chapter in the Bible, their faith was so precious to them. Then it didn't matter. All the gold in the world couldn't have changed their faith. And I want to read this statement. I'm going to read it twice. Our faith should cause us to have a daily dependence on God. Our faith should cause us to have a daily dependence on God. We should never lose that. Don't ever lose that. Because sadly, we often strive for independence so that we don't have to rely on God. Not that even we know it sometimes, but, you know, we want to be independently wealthy. We want this and that, and we want a new car, and we want everything. And then there's nothing wrong with all those, but don't put them above our faith. Because God has geared us and created us so that we'll never be independent and blessed enough that we won't need him. He wants us to need him. He wants us to rely on him. Not just for the finances and the home and whatever, but for everything in life. We need him, and he wants us to rely on him for these things. And he will meet our needs, the Bible tells us. You can have all the gold in the world, but if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. So faith is having a daily dependence upon God. And it's a good idea to give yourself a bit of a faith check every now and again. Ask yourself, are you depending on God for everything? Knowing that without him you can really do nothing. I certainly need God to lead and guide me daily. I need him to fill my mind with his thoughts, not mine, because that's what true faith is, and it's more precious than gold. I thank God that we have a business, but our business is not our God. I thank God that we have an income from our business, but that's not our God either. There was a time when we didn't know any different. We put our faith in our ability to work our business and our ability to work harder, work harder, work harder. And the more harder we worked, the less we had and the more trouble we seemed to be in. So our ability failed until we came to a revelation that it was God's business. He called us to it and we had to trust him and let go and put him first and trust him. And he's brought us through so much, hasn't he? I mean, we could have gone bankrupt at least twice. We've been sued. We've been taken for unfair dismissal. And I got taken for malicious bullying. And we've been stolen from. And I could write a book on stories from our business. But I come to now, I got a phone call at Bible study last week from a lawyer saying that someone who's been on our workers' comp since 2016 is now going for a payout. And, oh, whatever, like, I just don't worry about anything anymore. It was he did a wrong thing back then. It was false. He's claimed for years, since 2016, he's been getting this. But it's just like, it doesn't matter anymore because my dependence on God is stronger and greater and he'll sort it out. And this side of heaven doesn't matter if he gets paid, whatever, because insurance companies tend to pay him out anyway, whether you agree with it or not. And that's that. But if you take my faith from me, my gold's over. But if you take my gold from me and I get to keep my faith, I will be just fine. And I will come back. I'll have a comeback every time because faith is the substance to everything that we need. Faith is the currency of heaven. And I can tell you that we have proved God over and over again. And, of course, the famous scripture we all know in Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we can't see it yet, but we're not going to give up. And it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And I'm sure you've got good testimonies too of where you've hung in against all odds. And then it says in verse 6, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Last week I spoke about seeking him for things. Faith is how God transacts with human beings. And when you put your faith in God and you say and you declare that in a little while these circumstances will change, you speak to them and God will show himself. He will. It's my faith that causes me to prosper. It's not my prosperity that causes me to have faith. Put your faith first. It's my faith that causes me to prosper, not the other way around. You know, I was talking to someone last week and they were telling me about a preacher. Have any of you heard of Steve Penny? Steve Penny is a great preacher. He's up on the Sunshine Coast. He's running a church. He's been diagnosed with blood cancer and things weren't looking good. So he decided every day he was going to stand in the mirror, in front of the mirror, and speak to those bones and command them to produce bone marrow, whatever it is. And he did that every day. He goes to his specialist and the specialist said, your levels, they're not too bad, but they're not going to change because this can't be cured. And he's like, yeah, right. So he goes back and he continues to look in the mirror every morning and he speaks to his bones and he tells them to produce the bone marrow that needs to cure this thing. And as he's gradually gone back to his doctor is amazed because his levels have changed. And it's something that doesn't happen. But his faith is in God for complete healing. And we can speak to our circumstances. And I said to someone the other day, they were struggling, and I said, you speak to that and you tell you speak what that is. You tell it to come in line with how God created you. And you know, especially when we can't rely on medication, if that's not working or we can't rely on whatever, we should be relying on God first and maybe more often because he will prove himself. Trials will come and they will get you to try and turn in your faith for gold. Give up your faith and chase the gold. But going through trials is a time that God will often use to get you to the next level and to prove himself to you. So hang in there. Be patient through your trials. Some people go into a trial really down and they come out up. And some people go in up and they come out and they turn away. They chase the gold. Peter mentions trials throughout his books in 1 Peter and 2 Peter several times. But they have the ability to refine us. That's why God allows them. As gold, if, you know, Jill knows her hubby's a blacksmith, and as gold is heated, the impurities come to the top and they're skimmed off. And likewise with our trials, struggles and persecutions refine us. They strengthen our faith, making us useful to God. And, you know, there's a shift that will take place if we place our faith in God. Abraham in the book of Genesis said, it says he entered into the land and a famine came. And he went into this famine pretty down, but he came out up. And God used it because when he came out, God called him the father of faith. His son Isaac went into a pretty bad famine. And in Genesis 26 it says, then Isaac sowed in that land. So he just kept going about his business, doing what he could do. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold in a famine. And the Lord blessed him. Going through trials or hard times does not mean that God is against you. It means he wants you to trust him through these times, to be patient, and he will refine you. And I can say that with confidence, that you will come out better than you went in. I'm a much better person that I could have ever been had I not seen the hand of God working miracles in my life time and time again. Joseph went from the famine, which was what actually promoted him from being locked in a dungeon, and he went straight to the palace. He was promoted because of bad times in his nation, Egypt. He became prosperous and he was raised to a position a high position that he could never have gotten had of Egypt not gone into a massive famine. And I believe that as we're going into a famine and trials in these times, that we have to seek God more, trust God more. You know, we don't know what's ahead, but don't trade in your faith for gold. In Luke 15, we can read of the prodigal son. It's a great story. And the Bible says, the prodigal son was in the father's house and a famine was on its way. Note, he was in the father's house. Okay? Aren't you glad that we're in the father's house this morning? We're here. We're in the father's house. And that's where we need to be, especially when trials are coming at you and famine is on its way. We need to be here together. And the prodigal son was in his father's house. It was safe, it was loving, it was a godly environment. But he was about to experience a famine because he didn't stay connected in the father's house. And even though the son went to his father, we know the story, and he demanded his inheritance, he took it. He went out and started living wickedly. And the Bible says, you know, this is really interesting. In Psalm 37, David says that the righteous will not be forsaken nor his seed. You need to know your seed, God has it. You're praying for your children and your grandchildren and whoever, people that you've sown into, their seed. And the righteous will not be forsaken nor his seed. And so this guy's going berserk, spending his money, doing all this. And the Bible says that there was still a protection upon him because of the father. Our kids might not be doing the right thing at the moment. And I look at my son and he's not saved, but there's a blessing on him. And it's just a matter of time, you know, and it might take a trial to get them in. And so often it does, and we panic as mothers and, oh my gosh, my son, you know, da, da, da. But we've got to let them go through and let them find God for themselves. I have a nephew and we were really close for a long time, and then something happened and he backed off us, and we haven't had a lot of contact. He rings me last week at 10 o'clock at night and he said, Auntie Julie, I need your help. He knew where to come. And he said, we've had demons in this house. Talking about demons, Millie. He said, a friend of Carly's, that's his fiancée, came in, and it was Carly's birthday, and they were sitting around talking, probably having a drink, and all of a sudden, some demonic force pushed them up against the lounge and started to strangle them. And I believed him because I thought, yep. And I said to them, I said, what is this friend into? Oh, nothing. She does do ice or coke or, you know, there you go. She's allowed that. She's opened a door to let the demonic force come in. And I said, but Brett, if you remember nothing I say, the name of Jesus. I said, you go around your house and you tell in every room anything that is not of God in the name of Jesus to leave. And he took heed. He listened to me. He was frightened. And the amazing miracle of it is, he said, I need a Christian up here to talk to. And I'm like, I know just the person. And his name was Jim. And he was one that did some ministry with Graham. He came down and he went through our vows again last year. And I'm like, what? You know, God has had his seed of the righteous, this my nephew. And so they've been meeting up, and I don't know anything about it, and I don't need to. I'm letting God do what only God can do, but in the name of Jesus. But his seed, so our seed, people, is going to come to fruition, okay? Okay, so in the father's house, there was still a blessing and protection on this guy, but the father's house was still blessed. Okay, there was food in the house. They were hiring, servants. So the father's house was still blessed, okay, through this famine. And the father's house was righteous. And remember, we are the righteousness of Christ. We are that because of the blood of Jesus that's been shed for us. So we can be righteous. We can be blessed through trials. Okay? Don't forget that. But it matters if you're connected to the Father's house. It matters. And even though our seed might not be living, you know, how we want them to, because the enemy wants to destroy, he wants to kill them, we have a covenant with God. And it's so strong, we need to put our faith that he will bring them through. Notice, here I am, I've lost my place before, but during the famine, the Father's house prospered, there was blessing. Even though everything was going haywire with his son, he was still being blessed. We need to stay connected to the house spiritually. Don't unplug from that. To stay connected. During the time, and there was no lack, I think I read that, there was even dancing when the son came back. There was robes, there was a ring, there was bling, there were shoes. They had fatted calves. And it was all in the middle of a famine because the Father's house was godly. So you could even say that the house of the Lord was pressed down, shaken together and running over, because anyone in that situation and you're connected, they'll be blessed. Many people have disconnected themselves from the house. Where are they now? Where are they? Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God, in him I will trust. Who knows when our next trial or famine will come, personally or even corporately. I mean, especially with this religious bill, if it goes through. It didn't. Yet, it didn't. There's a pause. So look, pray about that. But remember that God supplies all our needs. Okay, according to his riches and glory. And the Bible says that the prodigal son, he took the money and then he went out. He got out of the house. He got out of the church. He got out of the anointing where there was plenty. And he got out of the blessing and he goes out into the world. And not many days after, it says, didn't take long for him to get into riotous living. It says that he'd wasted everything, wasted the lot. You see, the pride of the prodigal, they don't want to come back because of the pride. And it made him start looking, you know, like he was something that he was not. You know, when someone people pleases and they're out there and you listen to them, you think, who are you trying to please? That's not who you are. And that was him. That was really not who he was. You know, he would have been buying all the drinks, you know, his shout, running with a new crowd, wearing stuff that he couldn't afford, trying to keep up an image and people pleasing. But that wasn't who he was. And when he'd spent all the spent all of it, it had gone. Then the famine came. The famine didn't make him broke. He'd spent it all before. At the moment that he could least afford it, the famine came. And that's how the devil works too. At the moment that you can least afford it, when you're down, he makes sure that you were good and broke, and then he sends the famine. And in Luke 15, it tells us about the prodigal that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He'd forsaken his heritage. He thought, oh, yeah, I need new friends. I don't want my Christian friends. They're always telling me what to do. Father's always telling me how I should be. Yep, heard that before. And watch what they did. When he got and spent all his money and had nowhere to go, his so-called mates who had helped him spend his money and used him for what they could get were nowhere to be found. Where are all those people in the story? Nowhere to be found. Who will be there when you get to that place? We will. The church will. Because we need to be a church that creates an environment for people to come in. It doesn't matter what they've done. We only have to look back at our own lives. We're only here because we've been there and we know all about it. The walls have not fallen in yet. And they're not going to. We will be there. And as a church, we need to get our hearts right that we're there for our neighbours, for our children, whoever it is. And when the economy shifted and the pride of this prodigal ended up and he turned and he went back home where there was no famine, there was blessing. And it was something more precious than gold, the Father's house and all the spiritual things that we have in our house. And the Father himself will open his arms wide and he will love you and he will accept you. And 3 John 1:2, as I close, almost close, says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers, your spirit man." So the pathway back to prosperity is to return to the Father's house and stay in the house. The moment that that son got up from the mud and started moving back toward the Father's house, blessing came to him. If you want to see the blessing of God back in your life, get on the pathway back to God's house. If you're out there, come back if you've been away from it. I know there's people who watch on Zoom, and that's fine. They physically can't get here. That's okay. It's a great way to stay connected. Thank you for joining in. And I respect that. But for the people who, through even the pandemic, have stayed away, and the enemy has pulled you away from the house of the Lord, come back to the house. There is blessing in the house. Everything that you and your family needs is in the house of God, and I want to be a church that provides that, that we don't judge people, that we just love people, and I don't see any of that. I know we love people, and it doesn't matter what they've done and where they've been. So we need to be praying for people to come back to the Father's house. The prodigal sons need to come back. They're our seed, and there's many people out there that need to come back, and in time they will. And you just position yourself ready. Be ready. Graham said the other day, he's been walking early in the morning, and he said, "I just said to God, if you bring people to me," and blow me, he comes home with a story. Someone else was walking up the road and their son was in strife, and he knows the son, and he said, "I'll go and have a cup of coffee with him." And I thought, that's all we need to do sometimes. Just make ourselves available. But don't disconnect yourself from the house, from the Father's house. And I think that we, my emails I send out try and keep us connected, and Zoom keeps us connected, but there's nothing like being in the house of God together. Corporately, God wants to use us. Amen? Okay.